Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As much as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this judgment, thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins for many, shall appear to those that look for him the second time without sin for salvation. Then if we could turn to the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2. Again, if you're using a Bible like mine, it's page 1404. And I just want to read the last part of verse 16. On the principle of works of law, no flesh shall be justified. And then if we could turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, page 1252, if you're using a Bible like mine. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and beginning at verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee, standing, praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week, I tithe everything I gain. And the tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Then if we could turn to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Page 1275. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will not at all cast out. And then lastly, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, page 1312, and beginning at verse 55. This is about the man Stephen, a bright believer in the Lord Jesus. But being full of the Holy Spirit, having fixed his eyes on heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Lo, I behold the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they, that's those who were persecuting him, they cried out with a loud voice and held their ears, and rushed upon him with one accord, and having cast him out of the city, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid aside their clothes at the feet of the young man called Saul. And they stoned Stephen, praying and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And having said this, he fell asleep. I have a bit of a scattered thought, really, tonight, which really just came around because of a chap who we know from down in Belfast, back home. As some of you know, in Belfast on a Thursday night, we go down into the city to try and speak a little of the gospel and give out some gospel tracts. And we've met a number of people over the years. And the one who just I wanted to sort of brought me to mind tonight is a chap. We met him a number of years ago, and he comes down every 6 months or so to see us at the open air. And he's quite a simple guy. He had a brain hemorrhage about 20, 25 years ago, and he lost the use of one third of his brain. But the one thing that just is such a lovely thing about him is his delight in the Lord Jesus. And losing one third of his brain has caused him a lot of problems. He finds it difficult to sort out issues in his life and things like that. But the wonderful thing about him is he has this one-track mind that just always comes back to the Lord. And what really just gave me thought tonight is a phrase of his that every time we see him, he says, and every time he talks about one of his problems, it's always the last phrase that he comes to. And that's the phrase,
I'm rapture ready. Now, my thought tonight was simply on that, on being ready. You see, to briefly explain what that phrase, rapture ready, means, it means that he's ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to think a little bit of what it means to be ready. We all know about getting ready for things, don't we? If we need to get ready to go out for the day, we need to decide what we need to dress. If we're going on a holiday, we need to decide what we need to pack. And until we've done that, we're not ready. And it is the state of all mankind that we are not ready to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because each of us has sinned. And as Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. What is sin? Well, sin is wrongdoing against God. It's going our way instead of God's way. And because of that, there's a distance put between us and God. Isaiah 59 tells us that because of our sins, a separation had to be brought in between us and God. And it's important to understand that the only way we can ever have life is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God. Without God, we have only death. And it's not simply that our sins give us death, but that God can't ignore sin. And as we read in that chapter in Hebrews, in that verse, that it is the portion of men once to die, and after this the judgment for sin. So we can't get away from our sins. That's the first thing to understand. We can't simply ignore our sins, because the judgment for those sins will come about. In that passage in Galatians, I just simply wanted to highlight from the scripture the second thing that's important about being ready, which is that on the principle of the works of law, no flesh shall be justified. What that means, plain and simply, is on the basis of anything that you and I can do, we cannot be saved. There is no great act that we can perform that will give us salvation from sin. There is no multitude of little good deeds that we can build up that will save us from sin. We can't balance out our wrongdoings by a whole heap of good doings. Even one sin could not be balanced out by all the good that has been ever done by man in all the world. There is nothing you or I can do to be saved from our sins. There is nothing we can do to be ready for the Lord's coming again. Now, the gospel means good news, glad tidings. And it's important, though, to understand why they are good news and glad tidings. Because there was nothing that we could do for ourselves. But God, in his love, provided the answer to our problem of sin. He provided it in his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the wages of sin is death, and for our sins to be answered, death had to happen. It's not simply that that could be ignored. That punishment of death had to be meted out for your sins and mine. And for someone to be able to take that punishment of death, they had to be someone who wasn't under the punishment of death. We've read the wages of sin is death. That means anyone who is a sinner could not take that punishment on behalf of all mankind. I couldn't take that punishment on behalf of you, for my own sentence of death would consume me. There only was one person who had never sinned. One person who was that perfect that he was never under the penalty of death. And that was the beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God's only beloved Son. God knew that. It's important to understand as well that God dearly loves his Son. But in his love for you and me, he was prepared to give him to die on the cross. He was prepared to give him as a sacrifice for our sins. On the cross, where the Lord Jesus was nailed in according to man's justice, he suffered for our sins. Not through the wounds that were inflicted by mankind, but during those 3 hours of darkness that occurred while he was hanging on the cross, the Lord Jesus took that punishment for your sins and mine. A punishment beyond anything we can ever imagine. We aren't told much about those 3 hours of darkness. But we're told a few things. The words of the Lord that were heard. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, he cried. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If there was ever proof of what the Lord was doing in taking our sins upon his shoulders, we can see them in those heart-wrenching words. Our God cannot look on sin, and in taking the punishment for our sins, he could not look on his Son. The Lord Jesus suffered on the cross, suffered for those sins, and then gave himself up into death. It's important to understand in the Lord's perfection. You and I don't have a choice about death. It's the rightful reward for our sins. But the Lord chose to enter death in place of you and me. He had no requirement to do so. But he chose to take that place that we might be spared that punishment. So what does that mean in terms of the gospel? In terms of being ready? It means that your burden of sin has been answered. All things are ready, come. The Lord didn't stay in that tomb. He broke death's power. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And we have those wonderful words in Scripture which we didn't read today in John 14. He said, I go before you to prepare you a place, that where I am, there ye also may be. He's gone before to make ready against his coming again, when he will call all of his own to be with him. So what must we do in order to be ready? Well, that's why I decided to read this passage in Luke chapter 18. My desire in reading this passage was simply just to highlight the simplicity of what is needed to be done to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. We have these two men, and I just particularly want to focus on this tax gatherer. Tax gatherers in this time were people who usually weren't overly honest. They were schemers and thieves. And yet, this is a man who simply prayed to God, "O God, have compassion on me, the sinner." And we're told he went down to his house justified. Saved. Ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever wondered what will happen if you asked the Lord to save you? We get many examples of people asking the Lord Jesus things in Scripture. We get a blind man sitting by the side of the road called Bartimaeus, and he cries out, "Have mercy on me, son of David. Son of David, have mercy on me." And he gets brought to the Lord, and the Lord asks him, "What would you desire?" He says, "Lord, that I may see." And he said, "See, thy faith has healed thee." And it says, immediately he saw. There's another instance in Scripture where the Lord is walking on the water towards his disciples who are in a boat in the middle of the storm. And Peter says, "If it be thee, Lord, call me to come to thee." And he says, "Come," and he climbs out, and as he's walking towards him, he sees the winds and the waves, and he starts to sink. And he calls out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, the Lord reaches out his hand and takes hold of him and saves him. If you call out to the Lord tonight, if you ask him to save you from your sins, the answer will be immediate. There's no delay. There's no wait. You will be saved, ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're worried if you will be accepted when you make that call. John chapter 6, as we read verse 37, tells us very plainly, "Him that comes to me, I will not at all cast out." If you come to Jesus, dear friend, if you ask him to save you from your sins, it doesn't matter who you are. He will save you. It doesn't matter what you've done. He will save you. The Apostle Paul often describes himself as the worst of sinners. If you look through the history of his life that we get in Scripture, he had done many horrible things, including murder. He'd been complicit to it. And yet he was saved. There's none who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, who ask to be saved, who will ever be turned down. It's the one guarantee that we can have in this life, one of the very few. Life's so fickle, isn't it? We have promises of things one day that aren't fulfilled the next. But the one guarantee I can make to you, dear friend, is that if you ask him to save you from your sins, the answer will be immediate, and it will be yes. And you'll need never to fear for your future. Never to fear the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is coming again, dear friend. And he's coming very soon. We're told twice in the very last chapter of the whole Bible in Revelation, the words, "Behold, I come quickly." It's very important to understand that the Lord is coming again, and he's coming to call all his own to be with him. And that's why the gospel message goes out. It's to share the good news of the glad tidings, what Jesus has done. It's an invitation to trust and have that security and joy and peace of knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But it's also a warning, because the Lord Jesus is coming again. And if you're not ready when he comes, oh, what a terrible thing, dear friend. A passage I had considered to read out, but I didn't, was the passage of the 10 virgins in Scripture. 5 who were ready and 5 who weren't. And when the bridegroom came, 5 were able to go in with him, the 5 who were ready. And the 5 who weren't were left outside the door. and had to hear those heartbreaking words of, "I never knew you." Dear friend, don't put off the decision. If you haven't got your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, put your faith and trust in him tonight. I can guarantee you his answer, but I can't guarantee you the time. I know I've said it before, but there was a hymn when I was younger with the words, "This could be the last song before Jesus comes again. Before this song is over, we could be up there with him. It might be a gospel song or someone's favorite hymn, but this could be the last song before Jesus comes again." And until I was ready, that hymn terrified me. I remember being week after week as a child, being terrified of the gospel message and that what if the Lord Jesus came and I wasn't ready? I was so worried about that, that what would happen if I was left behind. I used to imagine coming home from school one day and finding my parents gone. And just me being left behind, and what would I do? I rejoice in knowing that I'm secure, dear friend. And my desire is that you would know the peace and joy of being secure yourself. That last scripture I read, I just simply wanted to view this scripture. I know it's of the Apostle Stephen, and it's right at the end of his life when he was stoned. I just simply wanted to read this scripture in the view of one who was ready. It's amazing when you read this, because he was a man like you and me. And yet, he so clearly knew where he was going that he had no fear of the situation he was passing through. He had his eye on Jesus, and he knew that was where he was going to be. Do you know that, dear friend? Do you have that security in your soul? That one day you're going to be with Jesus. If you don't, you can have it very simply by asking him to save you from your sins. And then that security is yours. You will have the same security as this man Stephen did as he faced death, of knowing that your future is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that nothing will separate you. Nothing that comes in this life can ever separate one who belongs to the Lord Jesus from him. But simply implore you, put your faith and trust in him now, tonight, before it is too late, for his name's sake. Amen.